Y'all, she's the cutest little liar. Look at her. Look at her. She's so cute. She is feeling her honesty. And that's probably one of my most favorite things as a parent, is just to catch them in the act and just let it roll sometimes. But today we are talking about honesty. I show you that video because honesty sometimes can be very obvious. Dishonesty can be very obvious, but sometimes it can be really subtle and we miss it. But today we're talking about honesty as it relates to repentance. There's that telling the truth outside, outwardly telling the truth to others, and then there's that telling the truth inward, whether we're willing to tell the truth to ourselves and what we say to ourselves about God. So our willingness to be honest impacts our repentance and our forgiveness. Are we willing to be honest with our own thoughts, our motives, our actions, without exaggeration and without cover-up? In 1 Samuel 15 and in Psalm 51, we see the hearts of two men, Saul and David, after they've been caught in their own sin and called out for their disobedience. One is honest and repentant, and the other is not. It's a tale of two choices, a choice to be honest with God and a choice to not be honest. One is an unrepentant story, an unrepentant choice, because of his willingness to not take ownership and his disobedience, his pride got in the way, and he was protecting his sin at all costs. He couldn't be honest with God, and he couldn't be honest with Samuel. And it ultimately caused him to lose his throne and his usefulness for God's kingdom. And then we have the example of David, an example of repentance, because he is willing to take ownership of his disobedience. He depends on God for forgiveness. His honesty with God shows us that our hearts and our motives are more important than our actions. Their approach to honesty shows their need of God. Their approach to honesty shows their dependence on God for forgiveness of their sin. Their approach to honesty shows their need for him and their trust in the Lord. Both Saul and Daniel sinned, but their attitude towards it and after they got caught up in it and whether they were recognizing the weight of it show whether they needed God for forgiveness. And if they just wanted to do something real fast to make themselves look better and feel better and keep obedience on their terms. So our approach to honesty shows our need for God. Our approach to honesty shows our depth of trust in the Lord when we sin and we need forgiveness. Are we willing to be honest with our own thoughts, our motives, and our actions without exaggeration or cover up? Because the question that I'm going to be asking of you today is, do you trust God enough to be honest with him? And I'm talking like really honest about your doubt, about your worry, about your control, or your fears. What about your secrets? Are you willing to be honest with your secrets, your struggles, big and small? God is trustworthy, and he delights in truth, and the truth will set you free. So let's dive in to our first passage that we're going to look at today, and that is 1 Samuel 15. We're starting back in, and we're going to see Saul's unrepentance, his pride, and his dishonesty. So we get straight out of the gate. In this passage, you see from the beginning, the Lord has a command for Saul, and he asks Samuel to tell him. And it's pretty black and white. Like, there's no gray. Like, sometimes, no gray here. Very obvious. His command in verse 3 says, "Now go and strike Amalek and devote to destruction all that they have. Do not spare them." But we see that Saul does not obey all the way. He does what I lovingly call partial obedience, and we talk about it in your lesson. He partially obeys, which is still disobedience. But he thinks a sacrifice will make up for it. He's like, okay, I know I haven't done what I'm supposed to do, but this sacrifice is going to make everything okay. It's going to appease the Lord. But what we see is he's really just delusional, because he's so proud of himself and he's still stuck in his disobedience that he builds himself a monument, an old yay me moment. He doesn't even realize how bad he's messed up. So the Lord has none of it. And he comes in and he tells Samuel, you've got to tell Saul that this disobedience is not cool anymore, because he did not obey all the way. So we see that Saul thinks that this sacrifice was good enough to make God happy. And isn't that convicting? He's just thinking, this is going to make him pleased with me. I know I messed up, but he's going to be pleased with me because I'll just do this sacrifice. But he missed God's desire for the sacrifice. So as a reminder, sacrifices are important to God because they represent and show our broken relationship with him. Because our sin and his holy standard mean that there is a payment that is required. And all sin requires a payment. And at this time, at this story in 1 Samuel, sacrifices were required to receive forgiveness and should be given in faith. The sacrifice meant nothing unless it was given in faith. So we read in verse 22, Samuel rebukes Saul and he says, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. To obey was better than sacrifice. Very, very specific. Because it's not about our actions. It's about our heart. The commentary writer, Constable, says it this way. He says, God desires reality over ritual. Sacrificing things to God is good, but obedience is better because it involves sacrificing ourselves to him. Saul's repentance is the response that the Lord desired, not his sacrifice. He was looking for Saul's repentance. And as a reminder, we talked about repentance back in 1 Samuel 6 and 7. And if you'll remember, I got the joy of talking about it and talked about turning from the sin and then fleeing back to the Lord. And so repentance is turning away from your idols and patterns of sin and turning back to God. It is a very physical reminder of you are depending more on the Lord than your own sin and your own understanding, what you're doing. You're fleeing back to God and following his ways. Saul shows no dependence on God. He didn't trust God enough to even obey his commands all the way. He thought that his way was better and that his own understanding was really all that he could see. His pride and dishonesty revealed his lack of trust in God. His pride led to a big handful of excuses that we see. And these excuses really point, it kind of rat him out. They point to his partial obedience. Some of his excuses were, but look what I have done. I spared the king. Wouldn't you be pleased? I spared the king. Look what I did. And another excuse was, but everyone else was doing it. I mean, the soldiers were keeping the thing. So, I mean, they were doing it. So isn't that okay? It seemed like the best thing to do, like keeping the sacrifices, the good animals to sacrifice. That seemed like a really good idea. And the other one, but I did it for God. I sacrificed the animals. That's what I was doing for God. And then his last excuse was, well, I was afraid of the people. The people were going to reject me. So we see this fear of rejection. So we see excuse after excuse after excuse of him not owning his part. All of these excuses were never going to bring him forgiveness because he was not repentant. Forgiveness and true freedom from sin come through the honest repentance, not partial obedience. And the reason, some things that we would see when we do see true repentance in our own hearts and our own lives, these are the characteristics that you see. You see an end to making excuses. You take ownership for what you've done. You take ownership for your sin. There's a movement towards God, moving away from what you know and what you thought to the Lord and his way. And then there's a relying on the Holy Spirit, asking the Holy Spirit for help. Saul's pride deceives him into thinking that he can set the terms of his own forgiveness. But Samuel reminds him that this just isn't the case. Saul isn't grieved by his sin. He's more worried about his reputation. And so God no longer can ignore Saul's disobedience and his rebellion and Saul's rejection. This king of Israel was no longer willing to follow God's will. God rejected Saul as king because Saul had rejected God. The rejection of Saul does not mean the rejection of God's plan. It didn't mean the rejection of God's people. God is faithful to his promises. He keeps his promise by making David king. We see that as he ushers him in. Although he often gives us over to our own sinful ways and the consequences of our sin until we're willing to be honest and repent, he still remains a promise keeper. And we know that because he sent us the ultimate king, our perfect king, Jesus. And Romans 5:8 says, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So as we reflect and look at this story of Saul, of his unrepentance, his pridefulness, and his dishonesty, I'm asking you, do you trust God enough to be honest with him? I can really relate to this story of Saul, and when I read my lesson and they started talking about partial obedience, it just was really refining for me because I feel like I walk through seasons of partial obedience where I don't really want to do it God's way. I really want to do it my way. I want to do what makes sense to me. I want to do what comes easy. I want to do what comes what's comfortable for me. And I know that I can gauge my depth of trust in the Lord by whether I'm doing probably two things. And I like to call it over-processing or under-processing. And when I am over-processing, it means I'm going to come up with a really great idea. I'm going to come up with this fantastic thing that the Lord's going to love. He's going to buy into this. I know it. It's going to be great. It's fantastic. But I can see myself. The wheels are turning. I am trying to come up with, I'm overthinking it. I'm worrying. I'm fretting. But I'm going to come up with a great plan. And then you have the flip side of the under-processing. And those are the ones where it did not even occur to me to talk to the Lord about it. It did not even occur to me to ask for his guidance. I'm just blindly walking through a situation and wondering what's going on and being just not even asking the Lord about it. Both responses are my pride. Both responses are disobedience. The pride of thinking I've got an answer that I can provide to the Lord and the pride for you're not even important enough, I'm not even going to ask you about it. So this partial disobedience of Paul, or this partial obedience, which is disobedience, was really striking to me. Because what I forget in those moments is that he is trustworthy. So what about you? What is something that you aren't trusting about God's character? Do you trust that he's in control? Or are you trying to manipulate and overthink the circumstance? Do you trust that he loves you? And his love is enough when you feel lonely and afraid or inadequate. He delights in truth. How are you partially obeying God? Do you see your partial obedience as disobedience? The truth will set you free. Are you willing to be honest with God and bring it into the light? Repent and ask for forgiveness when you've messed up. Trusting that God can change you. He can change your heart and give you the forgiveness and your freedom from sin. Do you trust God enough to be honest with him? So let's turn to our next chapter that we looked at, Psalm 51. And this is a beautiful picture of what to do versus Saul's what not to do. It's a beautiful, honest picture of humble repentance. And as a reminder, David, at this point of writing this psalm, has been confronted by Nathan the prophet for his adultery with Bathsheba and murdering her husband to cover it up. And you can read 2 Samuel 11 and 12 if you want to read those stories further. But unlike Saul, David's response is completely different. He's caught in his sin, but we see him feel the weight of it. He sees his sin through God's eyes, and we see the true sorrow for what he's done. And instead of making a case, instead of making an excuse, instead of justifying his actions, we don't see any of that. He confesses and knows that the true sacrifice that God requires is not a physical sacrifice, but an inward sacrifice of confession, repentance, and forgiveness, and heart change. So let's look at Psalm 51. Right at the beginning, in verse 1 and 2, David goes straight to what the Lord can do for him, and that is God's mercy, God's grace, and God's forgiveness. And then when we look into verse 3 and 4, we see the confession. His confession, and he admits, I know my transgressions. And he knows that he has hurt other people in the process of his sin. But ultimately, the biggest difference here between Saul and David is that he sees that he has sinned against God. He's like, and I don't want you to miss this. This rebellion was against God's way and God's calling on his life, and he knew that he had missed the mark. He knew that forgiveness can only come to sinners by his grace alone, not a sacrifice. Grace is God's undeserved favor, and David was asking his Lord for his undeserved favor. Verse 6 is our key verse of this chapter. It says, behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. That shows us what God desires. God delights in truth. When we're honest, that's the beginning of a fertile ground where he can grow and heal us, because the Holy Spirit is our helper. He teaches us wisdom to heal us that allows us to do the heart work of repentance. It's God's power that allows our hearts to soften our own part and own our part and repent. We can't muster it up ourselves. It's just, you need to recognize your need for the Lord, because we will always fall short. We see that in Saul's example. God sees right through his actions and his efforts. So in verse 16 and 17, it's an interesting mirror to the scripture that we see in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 15:22. So here in 16 and 17 in Psalms, it says, God, for you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with the burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. A God, oh God, you will not despise. God wants a humble, broken, and repentant heart, dependence on God more than our own understanding. One commentator I read said it this way: when we do not repent, our voice rules our life, or we are ruled by the voices of other people. But when we repent, it's God's voice that shapes our lives. This is the test. Are we listening to the voice of God? Are we submitting to his word? Are we letting God's word rule over our lives? A repentant person is a listening person. A person who listens to the voice of God. A repentant person is a listening person. A person that listens to the voice of God. Are you honestly listening to the voice of God? The Holy Spirit's small voice, more than your own or others. Repentance is not a transaction, but true transformation. And transformation starts with a broken spirit. So this is where the honesty comes in. You have got to be willing to be humble and humble yourself and be honest with yourself in order to be honest with God. David was a broken man with a contrite heart, and he was humble before the Lord. This humility is what helped soften his heart. He knew that God was the only one that could cleanse him and transform him. And we see that in Psalm 51, verse 10 and verse 12. Verse 10 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. And then verse 12 says, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Psalm 51 is an example of an honest humility conversation But it's also a beautiful example of how much God loves us, how much he loves broken sinners that are willing to be broken before him. He loves broken people when they come to him for the healing. Not prideful people, but people that need him. He loves a needy sinner. Because believe me, he loves you so much, and he can make beauty from any ash. But you have to be willing to come to him. So do you trust him enough to be honest with him? If you look at it through David's view of repentance, humility, and honesty, he is trustworthy. Do you believe that he's trustworthy enough to bring your most ugly, terrifying thoughts, your most biggest sins before him for forgiveness? And do you trust that he loves broken people? He delights in truth. Following David's example, do you know that your transgressions? Do you know the sins that you need to take before the Lord? Are you a listening person that desires to listen more to the voice of the Lord than to the voice of others? Have you slowed down enough to even ponder it? That is why I love coming to Women's Bible Study, is because going through this curriculum helps me to slow down. These interpersonal questions help me really think through and stop and ask the Holy Spirit for his help to help me listen. The truth will set you free. Are you ready to approach the Lord with humility, own your part, confront the truth, and experience his transforming freedom? So our last section is really taking the truths that we find in 1 Samuel 15 and then what we see in Psalm 51 and taking those two chapters and really reflecting on this question that I've been asking you. So how do I do it? How do I trust God to be honest with him? How do I really do this thing? And let me point you to a different passage of scripture, and that's 1 John 1, 6 through 10. And I'm going to have it up on the screen, I believe, because that really helps us see that what we have is Jesus, and Jesus is who is going to help us really learn how to be honest with God. And it says, verse 6 says, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. This passage talks about the honest heart. It talks to us about that, the heart of honesty and forgiveness versus that heart of denial and unrepentance. It shows the difference, and it shows us that the truth of God's word is something that we have to choose to follow. And our confession is an act of trust in that. Through God's ultimate sacrifice of his son, Jesus, we can now be cleansed from our sin without the sacrifice of animals. If you put your trust and faith in Jesus, confess your sins to him, you will be forgiven from your sins, past, present, and future. And if something like that sounds confusing or too good to be true, or that just sounds, I don't get it. Or maybe you're even realizing that you've never really put your trust in Lord, in Jesus, then I ask you to talk to your small group leader about it today. She would love to answer your questions. She would love to talk to you about it. But if you have trusted in Christ as your Savior and you reflect on this one question, do I trust God enough to be honest with him? And you feel stuck, or maybe you're just struggling through and you just don't even know really where to start, you've come to the right place. Diving into God's word is where you need to be, because we're all trying to figure it out. Growing in our depth and love for God is a process. That's the journey that we're on as believers, and you are not alone. Unfortunately for me, growing up in the church, I've been in a lot of women's ministries. And some of those women's ministries were really plagued with women that loved Jesus, but they didn't seem to need Jesus because they had their act together. They never messed up. Everything was great. They seemed perfect and acted like they did not need the saving grace of a Savior. That's why I have always loved Watermark, because Watermark was one of the first places that I met real Christian women walking through the trenches of their struggles with pride, their struggles with comparison, anxiety, control, the trenches of parenting, hard marriages, all of it. People were willing to talk about it. I saw women willing to be honest with God and living in the light of his truth, letting others in and helping them process and pray about the hard stuff. It can be messy, but it is so refreshing to be around women that are willing to be honest. God's delight was obvious in the lives that I saw and in the lives I see today because of how they have tackled their sin, trusting him to bring healing to their broken spirits. Because believe me, we have an enemy. We have an enemy that does not want us to be honest. Satan's easiest tactics are fear and pride and dishonesty. The deception and dishonesty of women appearing to have their act together and managing their sin and fearing honesty and protecting that sin and thinking it would just be too much or too embarrassing or just something that they can manage on their own, they're living in isolation, and that's where the enemy loves them to be, in hiding and isolation. Because who needs to repent if everything's fine and nothing's wrong? So let me point you to 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. There is no humility. There is no honesty in saying, I'm fine. I'm good. Everything is great. The Lord cannot move there, ladies. He cannot work. But Psalm 51 shows us that the Lord delights in the truth. If you're willing to be honest with God, when you've messed up, when you've sinned big, I encourage you to spend some time thinking about your view of God. Do you think he loves you as a broken sinner? Because how you think about God impacts your ability to trust him. If you are a believer, then you can grow in your trust in the Lord with truth and honesty. Question 4 in your study was chef's kiss. Mwah, I love that question because I love a good interpersonal, just get in there question. And I want y'all to stay there and get there, get to that sticky point in your small group today. It asks, what is the root cause of your disobedience? Wow, what an opportunity to be honest for others, okay? So let's talk about that root cause. Because if you don't really know what your root cause of your disobedience is, and you just feel like you're stuck in it all and all and over, have you asked the Holy Spirit to reveal that to you? Have you asked other people? Have you asked your community to process that with you? Maybe consider going to Regeneration on Monday nights to get you to help figure it out. But I encourage you to talk about it with other people. Figuring out that root cause of your sin can be really hard, but it is worth it when you tackle what you can keep getting stuck in. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if you know your root cause, mine would be pride, control, and anger. Thank you very much. Love to be honest with you before you today. I can fall in those patterns so easily. And that's where I encourage you to go deeper with the Lord. Talk to him about it. Be honest. Be like, where am I being prideful right now? Ask him to show you your blind spots. How are you treating your husband, your boss, your roommates? How about your kids these days? How's your relationship with food or alcohol? How are you coping when you feel disappointed or misunderstood? Is there anything you need to confess and be willing to be honest with God about? These chapters show us that God cares more about our honest thoughts than our actions. So in closing, we're going to stick with that final question. Do you trust God enough to be honest with him? He is trustworthy. Do you trust him? He delights in truth. Are you being honest with him? The truth will set you free. Let me close with the words of Jesus in John 8, 31 through 32. If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity to talk about the honest truth of you and your word and how you see us. And Lord, for that woman that's sitting there and just is terrified to be honest, Lord, will you just make her brave today? Will you fill her with your Holy Spirit? Just give her the words to just own something that she's been terrified to say. Lord, for that woman that doesn't know you, Father, that you would fill yourself. Just give her your presence, Lord. Lord, I just thank you for this time. I just pray for small group time that it is just rich and just a safe place to share how we're not perfect. And I ask all these things in your name. Amen.